A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Yes, this is Eagle FM, and it's a Saturday morning, the 30th of August. We're pretty actually come already to the end of the month, and the year, it's waiting for nobody actually. So just a few months ago, we were in the middle of the month. I mean, in the middle of the year now. It's about just about a few months before we come to the end of the year. Anything that you really do in the year now, well, start today. Don't wait next month or anything that you want to do in a year. Just start because the year just goes like poof, you know, in the blink of the eye. It's almost the end of the year already. So, good morning to you. How are you doing this morning? It's the end of the month. Welcome to Eagle FM. And if you are just tuning in, thank you for tuning in and for making us your choice at this morning. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and welcome back to Mind Matters. And I'm a behaviorist. I'm a behavior analyst who believes understanding the mind is the first step towards change. And today we continue the discussion that we had from last week. We were looking at what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult. So, and as I said, this is kind of like a series. It's not a series. We have a pattern of discussions that actually complement each other. The other time we look at the how do events, challenges, and or just life itself pushes person to the point where they feel that it's no longer worth living. And this is, we do it in the context of also what is happening in our country. So the whole issue, the whole crisis. It's a crisis. For me, it's a crisis. The whole crisis and Helen was just actually, you know, discussing that, of men, not going for counseling, men who are actually taking, taking their life. Many men are actually taking their life, and the whole question of relationship and how that actually contributes to, you know, to issues of suicide and relation breakups and all those kind of issues. So this is this discussion. It's coming from, I mean, it's driving the whole question of suicide, and so many people who are actually taking their own life. And remember, before, as I said, this is a topic that I designed to look at different things for you to be able to understand where you are. And most of the time, just if you, when you come, this is your first time you're coming here, I concentrate more on the process that is actually taking place in your mind. And that therefore mind matters. So the process that is taking place in your mind, and we're looking at how your thinking influences your thinking. We're looking at actually, you know, there are psychological patterns and social factors that influences the way you think, the way you the way you feel, and the way you make choices in life, the way you make decisions. And those are the little things that we focus on. This is Mind Matter, and I also call the time from now, from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock when we end the program. This time we call it a mental health hours, where if there is something that is actually bothering you, it doesn't have to be specifically about you, but maybe something it's more emotional. We'll focus more on emotional well-being and also your, as well as your physical well-being as well, but your emotional well-being your psychological well-being, if there's anything that you maybe you are going through that you don't know how to deal with that, or you just need, or there's just something that is bothering you that you want to know about in these areas. So you're most welcome actually to contact me. I will give my number. If it's just your first time here, I'll give you the studio number later on, and you can come through at any time, even during the discussion that I will be having, or the discussion that I will be having on the show. So even if it has nothing to do, it doesn't relate to that at all. So we're offering this platform, you know, the reason why we're offering this platform, I'm an experienced, a professional counselor, a behavior analyst. So, and I have been doing counseling for almost over 25 years, have an experience at least. And if you and I cannot be able to come up with something, we can always, you know, as I said, I can always, refer you, later on to someone else, who might help you. So, and also, I also invite, expertise, who also in this field as well, to come through and also contribute and share their experience, also their professional experience. And when we're actually discussing. So good morning to you. Our time is about 18 minutes past the hour of 11, and we will be going up to 1 o'clock. So this is Mind Matter. So, and last week, as I said, we are continuing the topic that we discussed last week. We looked at what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult. So every day, sometimes can feel overwhelming. You know, we worry about work, we worry about family, we worry about our health, and sometimes it feels like we are stuck in that storm and there's no way out. Sometimes there's that feeling, we're stuck in that storm and there's no way out. So, and sometimes we don't seem to have an answer. Sometimes we just simply kind of like, I don't know what to do. You know, but maybe the answers are simpler than we think. Sometimes the answers are simpler than we think. And this is exactly what we're looking at. And that's what we have been looking at last week. So the toughest part of life, you know, come down to really how we think and how we react. Much of the time, is then how do we think and how do we react to whatever happening to us in life? What lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult sometimes is actually how we think and how we react. So, and what we looked at, the two parts that we looked at last week, we looked at unrealistic expectations. I'm not going to go into that. So, but maybe just to say when our expectation don't match reality, so we get frustrated, we get distressed, and we get disappointed. So that's how, you know, unrealistic expectation can, you know, become the cause of problems and difficulties in our lives. So we went into that into details, and also we looked at also coping skills. Okay, we're also looking at coping skills that, as I always said, when you see someone is actually in a situation, one thing that you need to look at is their coping skills. So in life, you know, as you grow in life, you know, you learn skills, okay? Whether it's skills in terms of anything, really, survival skills, yeah? So if anything happened to you once, you learn a skill of how to handle that next time. So either the skill could be a positive skill or could be a negative skill. I'm putting it that way, positive or negative. Because let's say, for example, someone angered you, you know, and your response to that, which has been successful, is that if someone angered you, the only way to deal with that, if someone insults you, that is an example that I love to give all the time. If someone insults you, your reaction to that is, you know, you already throw a punch. And in most cases for you, it has been successful. So, in most cases that has been successful, it creates a satisfaction in the way you handled the situation when someone insulted you. That has become now your coping skill, you know, when it comes to a situation like that. But it's a poor coping skill, isn't it? So, in a way, that it's a poor coping skill, but, you know, you continue using that skill that in the end, it's not helping you. Do you understand? All right? So, and someone else could have actually chosen to not actually engage or wish to withdraw whenever, well, you know, and that could be a coping skill that they... It's different from yours, but it could be that much. That could be also a very helpful skill because it doesn't get the person in trouble. It doesn't. The other time you might hit somebody and you end up in jail. Do you understand the coping skills? So, or we can also talk about what you're going through emotionally. How do you deal with that? Someone may decided to go and talk to somebody. Okay, you may decide to actually go and talk to somebody, or the other one decided actually to start drinking just to forget what they are going through. You see? So the coping skills, what are your coping skills when it comes to certain challenges in your life? So the reasons now when we're looking at those coping skills that we looked at really in detail last time is that, you know, the way you respond or react, it's actually determine your coping skills. All right. So when you break up with somebody, you know, this is now still leading to what we're talking about when we're talking about suicide as a crisis in this country, people taking their own life, taking your own life. You think that is actually, that's a coping. You think that if I end my own life, that would end everything, that would end this pain, and, you know, it's also a coping skill. So, and that's what we're looking, and that's why we were looking at. There are those healthy coping skills, and also those maladaptive or unhealthy coping skills. And we went into that in details. So, yeah. So that's very important to understand. And today we there are three things that we're going to look at. One is self-awareness. The other one is also negative thought patterns as part of this, and also maybe the lack of purpose or meaning in someone's life. So those are the things that we're going to look at this morning, just to end our discussions that we started last week. So, and before we get into that, let's have a quick musical break. And my mouse is not moving. Okay. All right. Let's have a quick music break and let's take Mandy slowly.
not crazy, it could be paper babies talk. Take it easy. When you leave, I swear I can't breathe. Do you really care, baby? Even when I your home is up. You are my fantasy, my only desire. Cynthia, cause you make me fall, darling, darling. If you touch me one more time, I might lose my mind. Baby, it's too much here. Can we go slowly? Cause I can't take it. Attention, cause you got my affection, baby, baby, and so good to Deja, took you now step by step on the beat, put your night hand, in the street.
Very good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned into Mind Matter. My name is Mike Oshoveli. So, as before the break, I told you that we this morning we continue the topic that we had last week. It was about what lies at the root of the problems, what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult. That's our discussion this morning. And one thing that I want us to look at is the lack of self-awareness. Now, we have to put it in the context of what we're discussing this morning. So self-awareness is a very broader subject. Let's focus on a topic that we that we were discussing this morning. Now, before I go into really some detail that I want to discuss with you, I want to, when we talk about self-awareness, because this is something that many people sometimes, many of us don't understand. Okay, when we talk about self-awareness, we're talking about three things. So we're talking about thoughts, we're talking about, you know, emotions, and we're talking about, you know, behavior. Okay, those are the three things. Now, when we talk about now and how these things connect to each other, okay? So so when you behave in a certain way, okay? So let me put it this way. So these things are connected to each other, and that make up your either make up your state of being, you know, or when they are connected, they make up the state, your state of being, and also the way you normally then act or respond. So they are connected to each other. So your thoughts connected to your emotion, and your emotion connected to how you behave, and how you behave connected to your thoughts, and also how you're connected to your emotions, and vice versa. So it's kind of a connections of these three aspects, you know. And now, what I wanted to understand is that over time, how this work, this process, you know, this process of how you think lead to how you, you know, how you feel, and how you feel lead to how you behave, and how you behave lead to how you think, and how you behave, you know, that connections over time, there are certain that become actually a pattern. So there are certain, there are sometimes when that becomes a pattern, which you then becomes the second nature to you. All right? It becomes a second nature to you. You don't think of consciously, you don't think about it anymore. You just act. And by acting, you don't even judge whether is that a right thing or is it the right thing or it's a wrong thing. It's become part of you. It's come second nature to you. Okay, so certain behavior are just instinctive now. You know, you don't think about it; you just act. Now, to that element, add two things. Awesome. All right. So add two things now. So there is your thought, your emotions, and your behaviors. You know that. That process is guided, is influenced then by your experience. Okay, let me put one word. It's influenced by your believing references. I will call it a believing. Let me call it a believing system. It's influenced by your believing system. So when I'm saying your believing systems, I don't mean believing in God. Okay, could be part of it. But it's not only about that. That's not what I'm referring to here. When I'm saying your believing system, I'm referring that you have a reference where you go to behave in a certain way. So that's why you behave different from me. I behave different from you is because our point of reference where we go to refer, where you go and your source of reference are completely different. So your source of reference are now, which I'm calling your believing system, are your personal experience, the things that you have gone throughout your life, the way you brought up, you know, in your own home, you know, that has created a reference that you go to for you to behave in a certain way. So maybe the church you go to, whatever kind of belief that you believe, if you are a Catholic or a Lutheran or what, or a Muslim or what, or a Hindu. So you behave, you know, based, that's why I call those are believing systems. So your environment, you know, if you are in a certain area, that can also determine how you behave or how you talk, how you act. So people from Windhoek may behave differently for people from Kangwati, you know, or or Congo. So I want you to understand that. So now, when we talk about lack of awareness, we're talking about now, as we're talking about what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult. And I say one aspect is a lack of self-awareness. It means that we lack the ability. So it's our inability to recognize and understand our emotional, and our thought, our emotions, our behavior. So it's an inability. So it's our inability to. So it's okay. It's our inability to actually understand our own thought, our own emotions, and our behavior. And especially in alignment with who we are, with who we think we are, with our personal values, even with our expectation, things that maybe we expect of ourselves. So that inability or unwillingness, you can also call it unwillingness, but inability to understand your thought, your own thought, your own emotion, and your own behaviors. That exactly what we talk about, lack of self-awareness when it comes to what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult. So let's get a little bit into it, okay? So that we can understand this bit. I said it's your inability now to recognize, okay, and understand your emotional state, okay? So let's just maybe look at that. So there are people who actually go through life unaware of their specific emotion they are experiencing, or failed to connect to those emotion, to their, you fail to connect that emotion to your actions. Now, okay, you go to work. Something happened to, let's say, for example, you, whatever feedback maybe you get from work, and you are my boss, maybe your boss give you a very tough time. Okay. Let me just give you an example. Your boss had a really tough time from work. It wasn't easy. A negative maybe feedback from your back, from your boss, and you really feel, stressed, because of that. So, Let's call it that chronic irritability, so when you come now home, maybe a child is running to you and, mommy, how are you? Or daddy, they're running to you, and your reaction to the person. So now when I'm talking about that, you are unaware of that specific emotions that you are experiencing. So because of the stress of work, your reaction to the child, maybe you could say, please, man, sometimes you are tired and you're just coming running to me, and you understand that aggression. Where does that aggression come from? You don't even realize that you are being aggressive. So that's what we're talking about, your inability to recognize. So if you recognize that, at this point in time, I'm so sad, I'm so stressful. So if you recognize that, once you acknowledge and recognize that, it changes how you react. It changes how you respond, because you are aware. In most cases, we are going through emotions that we are not. That we are not connected. We are not connected to those emotions. And since we are not connecting to those emotions, they actually influences unknowingly our behavior. Are you following now? So now, without this insight, if you don't have that insight, now you misinterpret your behavior, or you fail to, you could also fail to to address those underlying issues, because, you know, you will fail to really address those underlying issues because you're not aware of it. And in this process, and this now causes that ongoing either stress or conflict or dissatisfaction in your life, because you're not aware of what is going on. Are you following? I hope you do. All right. So now the other thing is also when it comes now to self-awareness, a lack of self-awareness, and this is a big one to do. It's a problem for most of us. So we then have the tendency to blame external factor for our personal problem. Do you understand? Instead of introspection and taking accountability, we actually blame external factor because we are not connected to what is actually going on within ourselves. It is not me, you know? So when you are angry to a point where you really battered somebody, so what do you say? Eh? And imagine a person, how they beating up somebody to the extent where they really had them, you know, end up half dead, half dead, laying in hospital. So, and they believe that is not because of your anger, is not, you're not responsible for your anger. It's because of someone else. Because this is what the person did. The person insulted me. The person did this. And you believe that's the cause of the anger within you. So that tendency to blame external factor can extend to other problems as well. You can, you know, extend that, yeah, it's because of my, it's because of my mother, it's because of my parents that I'm in this state, it's because of the government that I'm so and so, it's because of this and because, so it takes away the responsibility and accountability from you. And now you can say, well, let's say for example, I of course there are no opportunity for work. Okay? There are no opportunity for work, and definitely that has nothing to do with me. I have to blame that the government hasn't created environment, you know, for me to be able to work. Just see how you're reasoning. All right? You may be right. The lack of opportunity has created, it's a trigger for your situation, you know, has contributed to your, but the way now, we're looking now, the way you feel, how does that situation make you feel? So you're not going to own your emotions, that your emotions, your suffering emotionally is actually your own doing. You know, it's actually your own doing. Suffering emotionally is your own doing. So it has nothing to do with the external factor. The external factor is a trigger. It triggers you to think. It triggers you to think. And then in thinking, creating the emotions that you are feeling. The suffering, the kind of emotion that you are suffering, you know, and the behavior that comes as a consequence is your responsibility. It's your accountability. And that when we're talking about, and that's now comes to when we're talking about, as we say, what causes? So what lies at the root? Remember, our question is, what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult? What lies at the root is that, you know, yes, the environment where you find yourself, yes, have triggered, you know, that the situation you are in has contributed to the situation that you are. But the emotional suffering that you're going through has nothing to do with, you know, it's not directly as a consequences of the external factor, of the situation, if you like, of the situation, but of your own process of thinking, of your own process of reasoning to yourself. That has to do with you. So now the problem is that, as I said earlier on, our inability to recognize that, we go on thinking that this is what other people are doing to us. So then you blame the external factors for now your personal problems. So, and this is where I'm asking you to introspect and take accountability, especially when it's come, because we are focused, as I said, we are focusing more on your emotional suffering. Is really your emotional suffering a consequence of an external event or situation or circumstances? No, it is that's just something that actually triggered something, move your process of thinking, and your thinking, it's what generate where your state of being, you know, whether now being happy or being angry or being whatever the case may be. So, and it's like that, when self-awareness is lacking, okay, when it's lacking, individuals often attribute now their failure or their hardship to other, we attribute it to other people or circumstances, rather really examining our own role. It is my boss fault, you know, that I'm miserable. It is my wife that I'm miserable. It is my, whatever the case may be. Rather than acknowledging how their reactions, their choices contribute to that. You know that this externalization, if you can name it with a word, this externalization block, this externalization block grow and then perpetuate feeling for helplessness and then a resentment as well. So because you think that's why you start now hating, you know, you hate the government. Well, there are reasons to actually be dissatisfied, but to hate. So, or you hate a person, or you, where does that, it come from, that externalization block? That externalization block, which grow and then perpetuate those feelings of helplessness and resentment. So, and those are the things that you are unable, you have, when we talk about lack of self-awareness, your inability to recognize and understand. All right? Are you following? Yeah. Now, people who lack self-awareness as well tend to take feedback, we can also look at that, tend to take feedback personally and defensively. So I'm talking about when is actually done constructively. So how do you react? You react with anger, you react with denial, you react with withdrawal, because you don't want to face. Do you know why? So if it's not true, if the feedback is not true, why would it bother you? Because it doesn't affect you in any way. And if it's true, why would you still bother you if it's actually stating the truth? No, just think about it. Either way, it shouldn't be something that bothers you. If it's not true, really something, knowing that that's not true. Let's say, for example, you believe that you the most beautiful person, okay? I am really beautiful. And if somebody comes to you, well, you are the most ugliest person I ever seen. If you believe that you are, why would you bother by a person saying that? All right. If you believe, truly believe. And if you are, let's also true that if you are truly the most ugliest person around, why would that bother you if that affect? The reason is that we lack that, even if something we say, we haven't connect ourselves to those emotions. We haven't connect ourselves to that reality. And when sometimes, as I said, when it comes to feedback sometimes, when a person lacks self-awareness, they tend now to take that personally. They tend to become more defensive. Eh? They react in anger. They maybe withdraw or they deny, you know. And then this is what we're talking about. So this now emotional dysregulation, you know, this either you regulate or dysregulate, if that's the word, you know, it also make it hard. It also make it hard to maintain, you know, calm when you are in a stressful situation, and it's also escalating then problems that we're talking about. That's how it's also then escalate, you know, problems. Because you have that difficult handling that constructive regulating, you have a difficult regulating your emotions because you're not aware of them. You can only regulate, you can only control and manage something that you know, that you're aware of. Am I too technical? All right. So there is also the other things that I can also say in terms of lack of self-awareness is that perpetuating the perpetual victim mentality and repeated harmful patterns, you know? Okay, let me expand. Without awareness of your thoughts, you may actually fall into a continual circle of seeing yourself as a victim to life circumstances. So you understand? So because you and remember what we're talking about, you can't regulate, you cannot be able to regulate your emotion if you're not aware of those emotions. So if I am aware that I'm so exhausted, so when I come home, I would be able to tell my people at home, my wife, my children, no, please don't, I need to rest a little bit. I feel exhausted. I need to rest a little bit. So my response and my action and my behavior is actually being determined by awareness, by being connected to my emotions and my physical and understanding my what I'm going through. You see, I'm going to rest a little bit. But if now a person, if I wasn't aware about that, I may not go and rest. But if someone comes to me, I may shouting at them. I may do certain things because I'm not aware of that. And that influences my behavior and my reactions. Do you understand? And now without awareness, you know, you may actually fail, or you get into this continual circle of seeing yourself as a victim. You are a victim of circumstances. It's not me, it's him. It's because of that. It's because of that. You are in this perpetual victim mentality. Excuse me. So you are in this, you know, continuous victim mentality. And then that you actually continue perpetuating this harmful pattern. So now, let's look at this. Now, there's also the way now you may start to avoid. The other thing is that you may start also to avoid challenges because you are failing to recognize how actually then that contribute to this harmful pattern yourself. So that is also because of lack of that awareness, okay? Lack of awareness. And also, the other thing, lack of awareness in touch of your emotions is also, you may repeat it when it comes to a relationship, because earlier on Social Times we were talking about relationship. You may continue repeatedly in the toxic relationship. Why? Because you are not really in touch with what you are going through. So, and that would determine how you react, how you respond. But instead, you're actually seeing this as someone, you know, this someone have done this to me. But then you don't see how your contribution perpetuating this kind of pattern. That's what I'm trying to say. It's perpetuating this kind of pattern, of harmful pattern. You get into this relationship harmfully, continuously. And you don't see how you're contributing to that. Because you think, okay, the other person was the only one who was wrong. And therefore, let me see this one. But you don't see your own, you know, you're not connecting to the emotions wouldn't determine how you can change differently. Do you understand? Am I making sense? All right? So the other thing is also that can create also a lack of empathy. Okay? It limits your ability to understand, not only about your own feeling, but also understand others people feeling, because if you cannot be able to be in touch with your own feelings, with your own emotion, you cannot be able to understand other people's emotions. And that make more communication more difficult and causing conflict in a relationship. We'll come back from this commercial.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
And also here in my matter, we are about you. So welcome to Eagle FM. This is my matter, and my name is Michael Chiavelli. And we're looking at, you know, we're looking at what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult. And today we're looking at the lack of self-awareness. So that is what we have been looking at. So now, and one point that I was actually to make, what I'm making is that when you lack self-awareness, it limits your ability to understand, and sometimes not just to understand your own feeling, your own emotions, but also understand other people's emotions. And with that reduces when you lack self-awareness, it reduces empathy within you. It's also making communication difficult. So because you cannot actually put yourself in other person's shoes, as they said, to understand them. And most of the conflict that you have in a relationship sometimes is because you cannot be able to be empathetical because you lack connection to your own emotions. And therefore, you cannot, communication becomes very, 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 very difficult. So you may be, let me put it in example. You are a very impatient person, but you are not aware that you are impatient, you know? So this is what we're talking about. That is where we're talking about connecting to your emotions, being aware of that emotion. Once you're not aware that you are being impatient, for example, so you might frequently, you might be interrupting people, interrupting other, you know? So you are impatient, you are interrupting. The person didn't even finish you. You're kind of like, I know what you're talking about. You're, because of your impatience, but you are not aware that you are impatient. In the end, what does that do? It may even damage your friendship. It may even damage your work relationship without even you realizing it. So that's the point that we're trying to make. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to say, you know, connect to those. Once you lack that self-awareness, when it comes to how you regulate your own emotions, you can't, because you're not aware of them. And that would actually influence this without you. When you cannot be able to regulate your own emotions because you're not aware of them, it would have impact on your relations, in your communication, and in your behaviors. So just as I give you an example of being impatient, if you are not aware of that, you will be interrupting people and you don't think that you're doing something wrong. From yourself, you may not think you're doing something wrong, but that could also damaging. This guy never allowed me to talk. But you're not aware of it. So this is what we're talking about. Okay? And those are the things, now, if you can follow, that what we're talking about. Those are what is lies. Those are the things that lies at the root of the problem. Sometimes it's not the problem you think it is, but other things. Now, you're not being connected to your emotion and understanding that you are impatient, for example. That is at the root of that, of the damaged relationship that you have. So people sometimes, they don't just don't talk to you because you don't know how to communicate. Why? You don't know how to communicate because you are not in touch of your own emotions. In touch of your own emotion help you to understand when a person is actually saying they are feeling this way. This is how they see. You can relate because you can connect to it. But because you can't even connect to your own emotion in this regard, you wouldn't understand. The communication would be difficult. Do you understand? Are you following now? When we're talking about what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult. So, lack of self-awareness. And remember at the beginning when I talk about this is your inability to understand your own thought, your own emotion, and your own behavior. So one way, a simple question is, why do I behave in the way I behave? Why do I think in a pattern of thought? We're going to look at the negative pattern now. So why do I think in the way I think? Why your thought are actually different from other people? Why do you think differently from other people, from the person next to you? So sometimes you're not even aware of that. So when you're not aware of that, the self-awareness that we talk, why do you behave in the way you behave? That's a very, very, very strong question to ask yourself. It's the introspective that I was talking about, Eva, that we don't make. And we just tend to think that's who we are, because that has happened, that have happened in the course of our life, and some of those patterns become, you know, second to our nature, that we don't even think about it. We just act. And in some cases we just, that's just who I am. You understand? You never actually connect. You are not aware why do you behave and think and feel in the way you do. So that could there sometimes lies where the root of the problem. And then I'm asking you, that's why I'm asking you now to, you know, connect. Okay? You know, to be aware. And when we talk about aware, it's actually develop the ability to understand your thought, to understand your emotion, to understand your behavior. So, and that's why we end up, someone could end up actually get angry, kill somebody, and then in the end, it's now when they are calm, when they, after 2 or 3 days, they didn't know what they have done. They didn't, it's not just you snap. It's a skill. Remember the skill that we developed? That's a skill you have developed. Your reaction to anything is a skill. It's a mechanic. It's a system that you have developed of reacting. It's like a computer. Eh? You press B, you get B. Because that's how it programmed. It programmed to give B to when you press B. And if you press B, it's going to give you B. Even in your life, over time, you become programmed. And when a situation like this happened, from your experience, this is how I need to react. But you don't consciously, you may not think that. Because that's what we talk about now, self-aware, because you're not aware of that. All right? Are you following? All right? And this is where now I want you to understand that anything that you find yourself in, sometimes it's not just about what you're doing. Is actually the, if you look at that, it could be that, you know, this is a coping skills I have developed. Have you thought about it? It could be this is actually, I'm not connect to I lack that self-awareness. I lack the ability to understand myself. So that's why this is happening. So, and this is where I'm taking you. So to say, go back there. There are certain things that you are not aware about, that if you become aware of it, you know, things could change. So let's quickly have another, musical break, and, we'll get into our second. So we're going to look into now, when we come back, we're going to look into negative thought patterns. So let's get Chidinma. Chidinma, Falling in Love. I missed that one. So please do come through again. Try again. I missed that. I think it was from my side, I think. Yeah. So good morning. So welcome back. And please do come through again. Try our telephone number. Okay. I said I would introduce our number later on. Our number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. Coming to you live. From Ondangwa Studio.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Mind Matters.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
Fine, thank you. Yes, thank you for the topic.
All right.
It does matter a lot.
Yeah.
Issues it's also very difficult sometimes because of from the sociological and psychological foundation.
Mm.
Because we very know very well that we are all coming from different cultural backgrounds.
Yeah.
And as such, it gives us places us at a complex level, a difficult situation, position to really, at least just to put our emotion in check.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I understand because you can feel bad and maybe the way you react to that particular situation trigger your emotions.
Mm.
To feel sad or to feel happy if it's encouraging.
Yeah.
But then, in all situations, like you said, self-awareness,
yeah,
self-regulations, and all other emotional intelligence elements, it's very, very important that you understand. If you feel bad or sad by a set situation, obviously for you to act in a similar way to somebody, you know that, yes, if this person, if you're feeling sad yesterday because of that particular situation and you should react like this, that person will really also feel sad. Is it sad or sad? So now it is also important that when you know that the situation does make you feel bad or sad, unhappy, and you should also not apply it.
Let me add quickly before I forgot. You mentioned something that's now linked to what I said at the beginning. So now you said when you know, you see, so when you know that you are sad, so, and that's the point. So when you know that you are sad, knowing that you are sad, it would help you now to regulate how you respond. You can think, okay, I'm sad, so I decided not to fight back. You understand, you know?
Yeah.
So knowing you are sad, you kind of like, you regulate yourself based on knowledge. And when you're taking an action or a response or a reaction, it based on a self knowledge. Okay. In most cases, we react without actually knowing, you know, that this is what I'm going through. And so my knowledge should help me to actually take a good course of actions. You understand?
Yes, you are correct. You are 100% correct. Just like, you see, and that is actually, and you see, when you find yourself in any situation, especially when that seems to be a kind of negative confrontation, conflict, and I think this is where now you need to compose yourself.
Exactly.
And because you are now facing a situation that require your intelligence and your calmness just to overcome the situation. So you are actually putting yourself in a very disciplined and composed position.
Yeah, because you are aware of what you are feeling. Yeah.
You are aware of what you are feeling. And that awareness makes you and gives you an understanding that this particular person, if they behave in that way, and he's also going to feel very sad, and it's going to cause some kind of friction between you. And if it's a fight, you're obviously going to take up a fight.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the other thing is that the one time Helmut was talking about, we are always told, you must be calm. You must be calm.
Yeah.
You must be disciplined somehow, kind of, you know, controlling your emotion.
Yeah.
And putting them in check. So that will help you to fight back a successful war, you know, a war, actually, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us to really resolve conflict.
Yeah.
In a better way. Sometimes it may require you to run away, just like Joseph ran away.
Exactly. So, no, you're right. You're right, exactly, because that understand. You see, this is the whole question of self-aware, because your reaction to run away actually comes from an understanding that if I actually get involved fighting in this, there could be these consequences that I don't want. So your reaction and your response actually comes from a reasoning, not just reacting, you know? And that means a lot. And that goes to what we now, the whole question of domestic violence and things. Why domestic violence happen is because it's coming for a reaction that is not reasonably thought through.
To tell you the truth, man, even when we get into our, I don't know whether it is issues of gender, issue of sociology, the issue of trying to, to solve conflict, actually.
Yeah.
Like you say, domestic violence, or maybe gender-based violence. And so you always find out that in some of the counseling that you go through, say, for example, it's a husband and wife or partner in a relationship. They will tell you, no. But why? Say the house. You know, some people, some couples are staying in the same house.
Yeah.
But they are still in conflict.
Yeah.
They are not somehow fulfilling those obligations like, what is it that they always use in court? As an excuse to separate or divorce. Yeah. I mean, what conjugal rights.
Yeah.
So now you find out that these people are living together and they are still staying together. They are not in a relationship. They are not in a marriage.
Yeah.
They might be divorced, but they are still living together.
Yeah.
And they think it's the protection order. And you can imagine the negative or legal consequences that come with that protection order, the way they manage it, the way they implement it.
Yeah.
So, and the people who cancel you and they'll tell you, but we are still living together. Yes. But why can't you chase her from the house? Or why can't she chase you from the house? What kind of teaching or awareness or counseling does it contribute to harmony or peace to avoid some kind of violence or gender-based violence? And you wonder. So when you are now talking about issues of emotional intelligence, issues of how to control and avoiding all those conflicts and havoc, So it's just very important to still really emphasize and say, how do we then get away of our emotions?
Yeah.
How do we then control them, regulate them in line, in accordance with whatever is there, that the rules, the norms, and all these other things.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Let's see how we can really control ourselves.
Yeah.
There are always coping mechanisms.
Yeah, not definitely. Yeah.
So those ones, sometimes they will, and we think it's only when you go to the psychologist that you can get this kind of counseling, and sometimes it restricts us because within the family structure, we still have them.
Yeah, no.
We still have the pastor, we still have the counselors in the community.
Yeah.
You might not be able to go to Ministry of Gender Equality or Social or Health or whatever, but we still have a lot of counselors. But we are also neglecting our job because the social workers, for example, they are so few and the structures might not be in our community. But through the church, tomorrow is Sunday or mosque or whatever, whenever you gather,
yeah.
Do they really incorporate or integrate some of these things into their sermon so that people will understand that this?
And it's not only a sermon. It actually should be today, that's what this is one thing that people are going many people are going through. Even if you are, when you are in church, as a pastor, when you are in church, many people that are sitting in the pews there, they are going through emotional trouble. What are you doing? What are the services that you're providing to help them actually deal with these problems that they are facing? So you may solve them, but, you know, there must be a service that in our churches that actually trying to help people in this way. You are right. Church must do something.
Correct. And just that when we are talking like this, and Mike is talking on Radio Eagle FM, the thing is not so as value as the, you know, people when they gather in the church, when they do in the other events, maybe in their wedding ceremonies, whatever kind of platforms, in any speech that you deliver. So it must help to make a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
In the life of the people. So you are correct. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
No, thank you for coming through and your contribution.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Our telephone number 08333-66091. 08333-66091. You also welcome to come through as well. So, Chidimna, falling in love. Welcome back. So welcome back. And our time is about, what is the time now? The time it's about? Time is about 26 minutes past the hour of 12. So, yeah. All right. We were talking about the, just ended with the, what is that, with the self-awareness, and I want us to go into now the negative thought patterns. So, and remember, the underlying topic that we're looking at is
what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult. So when we talk about negative thought patterns, so when you talk about negative thought patterns, we're talking about you have developed a habit in the way you think. So you have developed a habit in the way you think, and that has become now a repetitive, automatic ways of thinking. So, and that way of thinking is unhelpful, and it actually skew towards focusing on the negative aspect of life. All right? So it is unhelpful, and it actually then focuses you on the negative aspect of life. Now, this pattern lie at the root of many problems. So those patterns lie at the root of many problems that make life seem difficult that we're talking about. Because one, they distort your perception. So they distort your perception, they can cause emotional distress, and they trap you or an individual in a cycle of pessimism. So they trap you in that cycle of pessimism and maybe anxiety as well and stress. All right? And it's also something that you can be conscious about, or it can operate unconsciously. So meaning it's running at the background of the mind without you unknowing it, without you not knowing it. And in that way, strongly influencing your behavior and your emotional responses. All right? Are you following? So that means sometimes there could be unconsciously something that's running in the background. It's like a computer, okay? While you're doing your things here, there is a software. There's a the hardware is running in the background, actually influencing what comes to your, you know, I'm not a computer person, that comes to your interface that you see, that you're working on. There are so many things. Let's say, for example, you go into internet, you're looking for something. Things pop up here. There are things just popping up here. You can see that you look for this, it's coming up. But there's a system working in the background that actually help you to bring these things, that actually design to help you get what you want, isn't it? So it's exactly the same way. It's just that, you know, this is a pattern that you have created over a period of time, you know, a negative thought patterns. It becomes all repetitive. It becomes automatic. Where it just like, as I said, underground, at the background, you have a design that of the computer. You have a design that help you actually bring what you're looking for. If you're searching for something, you know, engine search always give you what, because there's a system designed to help you bring you that. So we do the same thing. Over time, we create pattern, the way of thinking. You create the way of thinking, and anything that comes into your life, what you're looking for, you use that way of thinking. You understand? So it becomes an automatic way of thinking. And in most cases, depending where it comes from, it could be unhelpful. There are those that are helpful, but we're looking at the more negative thought patterns. So they are unhelpful, and they focus on the negative aspect of life. Now, in the brain now, there's something in the brain, negativity bias, let's put it that way. We have something like that in psychology. So in the brain, negativity bias, so this one evolved to focus. Now, that the brain negativity bias evolved over time as you experience things in life, as you do certain things in life. So you meet certain negative impact in your life or experience in life. So this one now involved, as I call it, is called the bias, because it involved now to focus on the threat and negative experiences. So it focuses on those, on the threat and negative experiences in your life. Now, this, your brain does that. It's not actually, it doesn't recognize. We're talking about negative, because consciously we can see that it doesn't help us, and therefore we call it negative. But the brain actually developed this to protect us. Okay? It developed this negativity bias to protect us, so that when it focuses, okay, this is negative, or this is a threat, so that, you know, it prepares itself to fight or run away. Okay? Fight and flight responses. But the problem is that in the modern life now, this also leads to an emphasis of negative thinking, even when not necessary. You understand? Now people now making people now become prone to pessimism and also emotional pain. That's how then creating that emotional pain as well. So, are you following? So now, I want us to consider some common distortion now that we're talking about, that this negativity bias, which is now it focus on threat and negative experience to protect us, as I said. But as I said, this can lead now to overemphasizing on a negative thinking, even when it is not necessarily. Okay? So, and in the process, we become now vulnerable to emotional pain because of that. So, now, when we're talking about this common distortion, is that there's a normal way of thinking. And that normal way of thinking can be distorted by something, by a circumstance. All right. Now, let me give you an example. So we're talking in the level of the mind here now. So let's say, for example, when you're growing up, you have been beaten up. You, every time you have done something, just that, like this, every time you have done something wrong, you're actually punished. All right. Every time you have done something, you're actually punished. What kind of over time now? From your early age, when you are so small, to until maybe you are 15, or to, every time you have done something where you're being punished, what do you deduce from there mentally? Mentally, what do you deduce from there? You know, that in itself becomes a pattern of thinking. It becomes a pattern of thinking. So you could be thinking that, you know, you are not allowed to make mistake. You are not allowed in life to make mistake. That could be now becomes a pattern of thinking, that you are not allowed to make mistake. It becomes a pattern of thinking. So, and every time you make a mistake, what do you think? Oh, I'm such a failure. I'm such a bad person. You started to blame yourself, because that has become a pattern of thinking from you growing up. Because you were not allowed to make any mistake. Any mistake you made has been punished. It has been punished. So what you can deduce from that kind of pattern of behavior that have been happened to you, you mentally you can deduce that you are not allowed to make mistake. If you make a mistake, you are a bad person. You are a failure. You're whatever. So in your life, you have been trying to avoid making mistake. Yeah. So what happened? That has become a distorted way of thinking. So that's why when we talk about distortion, that has become a distorted way of thinking, that you can't make mistake. And if you make mistake, you are a bad person. You are a failure. So now you're going to live miserably by making one mistake. You just make a mistake, your life is kind of like it has come to an end because you have been, because you made that mistake, because you believe making mistake is a total disaster. It's a failure in life. It's a, you are a failure. Do you see that? Now you see how you become, you see now when we're talking about that, this become, there are the root causes, what lies at the root, at the root of the problem. You see that now. You are here miserable. It's just because, you know, there's a pattern of thought you have developed because of the experience that you went through. Are you following? So, and that makes life so difficult. All right. So that's one thing. So there are a couple of things that I'm going to, there's a couple of distortions that I want us to check. If that's you, and then examine now, is this a pattern with you? Is this a negative pattern that I'm holding that I need maybe to examine now and be critical about? So one of that is that you can assume that, you know, how you feel must be true. You understand? So feeling are too close to us. Yeah? Feeling are very, very, very close to us than what we think. You know, thinking is something that we cannot sometimes. They say that, thought is a dry, feeling, you know. Thought are dry feeling and emotions are more juicy, you know, juicy feeling, you know. Yeah, so because they are more closer to us. All right? So closer to the point that when you feel something, you think that it is true. You know, when you feel it, you think it's true. True in a sense that, because now remember that, where does the feeling come from? So it comes from a stimuli. It comes from something that has stimulated, whether it's circumstances or stimuli comes through our experience, our senses, okay? The five senses that we have. Yeah, but what you perceive could not be factual. All right? Could not be factual. And therefore, your feeling may not be actually real in terms of, in relation to the act, in relation to the behavior, in relation to the circumstances. I'm going to give an example. So let's say, for example, a lady winked me. Okay, beautiful lad, beautiful girl, beautiful woman winked me. Okay, give me some kind of a wink. You know, eye wink, you know, just wink me. Now, let's say, for example, I'm taking that now. I perceive that. Let me say I'm perceiving that to be like, okay, she probably wants me, all right? Let me think if that's the case. I'm thinking, oh, she probably wants me. That's what I'm thinking. I'm taking it, that's what it means. So saying that she probably wants me, it creates some kind of emotions. She probably doesn't have nothing. She kind of like, okay, hi. Maybe the wink was just, hey, hi. Okay? So now my emotions that I have developed based on what I interpret what to be, I believe that is true. The emotions that I have now legitimating that is true. Do you understand? Without realizing, remember self-awareness that we talk, without realizing the process that we created that thinking, is not necessary that this equal to this. No, we create that emotion in us. So, and if it's based on false promises, that means what you're feeling is true to you, but it's not in relation to the situation, not in relation to the facts. Are you following? So sometimes this is a very dangerous thing, very dangerous, because it could be also then looking at it in a negative way, where you actually feel that I am a failure. You know, you're actually feeling that you're a failure. You know, where even where you don't have no evidence that you are. So you say, and then you start to think that just because I feel it, and this is where that this is a distortion. It's an emotional reasoning, which is actually a distortion, where you think just because I feel it, then it must be true. So the reasons why I emphasize, why, you know, we're looking at this, is that there are certain things that you feel, which you start to believe based on what you feel, thinking just because I feel it, it must be true. And that can be very spiral. You feel you are a failure and you feel you are nothing, and then you believe that's true. Once you believe that is true, it becomes a point of reference. Remember, now you're feeding your subconscious that I am nothing, and it becomes a point of reference in the future. So whenever now you want to do something, you know, your subconscious would feed you back and say, hey, you are nothing. Why are you trying to do this? Without even, as I remember, without sometimes consciously, as I said, this can operate on conscious level and sometimes operate on unconsciously. You know? So that's very important when we're talking about this a negative pattern, negative thought patterns, you see? So there are certain patterns or negative thought patterns. There are certain patterns that we have developed sometime now unconsciously, you know, follow that way of thinking without even consciously paying attention to that. And then it created, you know, this circle of anxiety and also influencing our behavior and our emotional response. You following? All right? So the other could be, or you have this way of thinking, black and white. You know, it's either, you know, it's either something is this or that. There's no middle way. You know, all or nothing kind of thinking, where you only see situation as perfect or a total failure. There's no middle ground. So I made one mistake, and so I'm a complete... So just because, let's go back to the failure things. So I just made one mistake, and then I think I am completely a failure. You know, it's all or nothing. So you're not looking. And remember, if you're coming also from the emotional reasoning, where you think that because you feel it, it's therefore true. So I'm feeling it, and that it must be true. And now you come also, you have this pattern of thinking also that, you know, it's all or nothing. So then when that happened, when you just one mistake and you combine all these two, so you kind of like, I am a complete failure. And where does that lead? So that leads to some kind of response where either you give up, or you feel you're a victim of circumstances. Remember what we talked about earlier on, you know, when you lack self-awareness. So all this now, you know, are connecting. Okay. So there are also those who have this pattern of overthinking or generalizing. All right. Where you are concluding that one bad event reflects a general rule. I failed because just you failed once, so I will always fail. Do you understand? That distorted, that's a kind of a distorted way of thinking. So when we're talking about the negative thought pattern, you can actually have developed over time, you could actually develop an overgeneralization way of thinking. You always generalize things. It's one thing that happened. You meet those people. Yeah? Where only one, this, you only failed once. It's something just happened once. And they believe as if it's going to happen, you know, That's going to happen always. It will always fail. You will always, if you fail once, you kind of, you will always fail. That has become now a tag you carry over generalization. So these are also things that we need to examine about ourselves, because we could have developed that over time in our lives, and we are not even conscious about. They can contribute now to how we that those one can contribute to our way of thinking and our way of reacting. So there could be also, when you focus only on one piece of negative feedback. Imagine, you know, you getting out of the house and you feel you look beautiful and you're proud of yourself. And then as you go through the day, maybe you go throughout the through, you go in town and there are people giving you a compliment. Hey, you look great. Oh, thank you. About three people telling you, hey, you look wonderful. You look pretty today. Okay. Thank you. And then someone you look at, say to you, you're what? Your dress that you, your blouse and whatever, that's match, doesn't really look, you don't really look great. Just one. You have three people complimenting you and one person criticize your look and you start to feel terrible about yourself. Why? You start actually to feel terrible about yourself. That's why you have three. That's why you focus only on one piece of a negative feedback and ignoring all other positive in your life. There are so many things that you have done that are good or that you have been successful about. And then maybe you fail an interview, just this interview, but think of many other things that you have done, you have been successful. You fail this interview and then you think your life is so terrible. But you understand that also, those are kind of that we're talking about, distorted way of thinking. Eh? You might actually have developed that, and develop this way of thinking to many things. You know, it could become a pattern, and that can become a problem. You know, can become the cost that we're talking about, the what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult. Watch what I'm trying to help you to understand here is that watch your thought processes, watch your thought patterns that you may have developed, you know, over the years based on your experience and all things like that. So they make a big difference. So, yeah. So even the assuming other think. So even how many people who they assume that other think negatively about them. Eh? So there are also, you know, where people didn't even, you don't have evidence that that's what they think. Okay? So let's say, for example, this person just didn't say hi. And you think, oh, they must hate me. That person really hates me. Why? No, he didn't even say hi. So you see, you don't know how person conclude to something like that. The person didn't say hi. They hate me. The conclusion. So the logic of that is it doesn't follow the law of logic at all. Okay? So you have people like that. That's actually kind of like a mind reading. A person's kind of like, they have this mind reading. It's not like a mind reading. It's a distorted way of way of thinking. It's just because the person didn't read, you concluded already they hate you. So that's a mind reading, which is actually, you're not reading correctly, or definitely, but certain people can develop that kind of pattern. They have all the solution to anything. You know that guy, you know that person actually, they can tell just a person, and maybe that's watching that person. Oh, you see what that person must be very this, then this. They concluded already, you know? They kind of like just read. You have developed a way of thinking that without even evidence that conclude things that make you now behave. Because if you believe that that person didn't greet you because they hate you, what that would do? If that's your conclusion, that would influence how you feel. You start to feel this person hate me, so I will hate them back, or whatever the case may be. Or this person hate me, your way you react to them would be totally different. But you don't have evidence of that. It becomes a pattern of some people have developed. And you find yourself in that circle of anxiety and pessimism and, you know, anger and whatever the case, whatever the distressful emotion you may experience. There's also another one, very, very, very common, of assigning labels to someone, you know, even to yourself. And the dangerous thing is actually even to yourself. I'm worthless. Instead of I've made a mistake, let's say, for example, you do something and said, oh, well, I made a mistake. You label yourself as worthless. And those have a greater meaning to you. When that words have greater meaning to you, that I made a mistake. Say that, what's the difference? I made a mistake. I'm worthless. Worthless is a label you put on yourself as something permanent. You understand? This is who I am. I'm worthless. And normally when you do that, be careful what you either you're thinking or saying it, because you give a command to your mind that I'm actually worthless. And anytime in the future trying to do something, you know, your mind tells you are worthless. Sometimes when you don't succeed in life, it's not because, oh, hello, wow, aningbashike, you know. Sometimes comes to, you just can't move forward because you actually told your, it's like you change your car run up to 220, you know, the speed of that car run up to 220. And then you change it to run only up to 200, you know. Now, you command it, like now, you command your mind only to function up to 100. Now, there comes a time now you want to drive, you know, to run at 240. No, your mind can't get there because you have commanded it for over the years to run up to 100. So, I made a mistake. It's different from I'm worthless. That's actually laboring yourself. And when you say I'm worthless, you are actually commanding your mind to say, you know, I can't do anything else. And the next time when you're thinking, oh, I need to do something like that, you may be conscious about it, but quite often that command operate from the engine that operate, the system that operate on the background. So when now you want to do something, you know, the your mind, your subconscious does tell, you can only go up to here. Remember, you are worthless. Even you are not remembering consciously. So you are worthless. You started to making excuses. You realize you started to make excuses. Maybe it's too far. It's because your mind is trying to find solution of what you have commanded it to do. So, are you following? So the other distortion then, the other distortion also, what we can look at is it's personalizing thing. And this is very common to many of us. You know, it's personalizing, taking responsibility of things outside of one's control. Certain things sometimes that is not in your control, and you could be taking a personal responsibility for that. Let's say what could be something that is in your control. Failure of a project, maybe, even though it wasn't solely my responsibility. Maybe we were many into that, so there were others. You know, you personalize things. things maybe that said that are not right directed to you, and you personalize them, you know. So that way of thinking, that's coming from a pattern that you have developed. When things are talked to you, when a person maybe is addressing your work, you're taking it that, you know, the person is actually, sometimes your boss talk to you and talk to you about work. Okay? So this should not happen again. And you kind of like the person, and he said your work was very sloppy. The work was below par. What you did was actually below. Let's say, for example, I'm here now, and then later on my boss comes and said, look, what you were talking today was absolutely rubbish. I don't know what you're even thinking. And so, and I'm actually taking that the person is actually attacking me personally. You see, I'm not listening to what he's saying in terms of the issues that he's actually talking about. But I'm taking that as if he's attacking me personally, because that has become a pattern of thinking that I have adopted over time. And it influences. That's actually what, it's your way of looking at things, that pattern, that distorted way of thinking that actually now causes you that those problems that you are going through. Are we following? So, the negative thought patterns, they are deeply, deeply ingrained in our cognitive, in our mind habit. So they become our mind habit that are distorted, and sometimes then those are the ones that actually causes the suffering that you're actually going through. So it's the way how you now interpret that reality yourself, rather than the reality itself. All right? So, yeah, before I close, it's about 59 minutes past 12, and let's have a quick music break, and then I will close off before I say goodbye to you. So just stay tuned. All right, let's get what are those twins? How do they call them? Afro? Okay, these are twins. Let's get to P Square Beautiful.
I was feeling so sad because I was all alone. Was so bad. And there she goes. She touched my heart and said, hey, person, I know so go. Hey. Was so glad. The way she keeps me smiling, it brings me joy. She proves this love in its real. Within my heart, there's no. Take you away, mommy, baby. See the girl I want marry. No time, no delay. After all the things I've been through, I present my love to you. The girl I want marry. The girl I want marry. See the girl I want carry. Now the girl I want marry. Corona no move, no move. Oh man, it's a one. What a beautiful onyinye, nenye makagi, so you and I can fly away, straight to the sky, just you and I, girl I know the lie, can't you see, you are sent from above and you know you're my heart and my sweetness, is this love, I don't know but I know what I'm feeling, my God be my witness. You're my princess, hey, hey. The way she keeps me smiling, it brings me joy. She proves this loving is real. Within my heart there's nobody else. Make you give me your hand.
And that's actually bring us to the end of Mind Matter. With all what we have gone through today, you know, and all the aspect that we look at, and remember, Mind Matter is here to remind you, you are not actually stuck with these problems. You are not stuck with these problems. Psychological research shows there are solutions and skills we can learn. So you have the power to change your mind and your life as well. So, and I will leave you with a quote to everybody inspire you. So by Bob Woward, Moat. Yeah. He said, the best day of your life is the one on which you decide your life is your own. Remember, your life is your own. No apologies or excuses. It is an amazing journey. And you alone are responsible for the quality of it. And this is the day your life really begins. Let's let today be your day. Thank you for tuning in. Take care, stay curious, and remember, your mind matters.
Come on. Mine, all I see is her. Turn up the music, we bumpin' P-Square. Number one in the game, and we gon' be here. Always making hits in my convict. We talking money, or you talking nonsense? Making slow love to my baby girl. Got them big trucks pulling up everywhere. You only live once, and that's the anthem. All your negative energy feed cancer. I can look into her eyes for my whole life. We can make love for the whole night. Take my hand, baby. I just wanna be a man, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. My mama, she's not beautiful, no, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, let me see.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Input just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.